Deuteronomy chapter 18, we're going to read verses 9 through 13. All right, the Bible says this: "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so." All right, let's pray this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us now. I pray that you'd help us as we look into your word. Speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The truth about Halloween, you know, when you come down to it, there's a couple reasons people can celebrate Halloween. Some people do it out of rebellion. They know the truth behind it, and they want to honor Satan and what he stands for. That's one reason. And I think maybe another reason is out of ignorance. I think people don't know the truth behind it and think it's just innocent fun, or maybe they don't see the harm in participating in its practices. But either way, folks, it's a very dangerous thing for a Christian to partake in the practices of Halloween. The Bible tells us in the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." You know, folks, not knowing whether something is harmful for you doesn't change the fact that it will harm you. I mean, someone who doesn't have a clue about antifreeze and think it's green Kool-Aid, you know, just because you may think antifreeze is green Kool-Aid doesn't change the fact that if you drink it, you're going to harm yourself. So just, you can't use that as an excuse as, well, I just don't know. Well, knowledge or the lack thereof doesn't affect the outcome of a situation. I mean, you know, some people may not know, for example, things that are or aren't harmful, but it does not change the fact that certain things are or aren't harmful. So I want to give you knowledge today, okay? I want to try to impart some knowledge into you. I want to present with you some facts about Halloween, where it came from, and then show you some scriptural principles and let you decide where you stand on the issue, all right? So let's start right in. Let me give you some historical facts about this time of Halloween, all right? History traces Halloween back to the ancient religion of the Celtics. The Celtic people were very conscious of the spiritual world and had their own ideas of how they could gain access to it, such as by helping their over 300 gods defeat their enemies in battle, or by imitating the gods and showing cleverness and cunning. All right, so the very practices of Halloween originate from people who were pagans, the Celtic people. Their two main feasts were Beltane at the beginning of summer on May 1st, and the other feast was Samhain, and we call it Samhain, at the end of November. At the end of summer on November 1st. They believed that Samhain, named after the god of death, was a time when the division between the physical world and the spiritual world became very thin, and when hostile supernatural forces were active and ghosts and spirits were free to wander as they wished. All right, so the very celebration of this day goes back to an ancient people called the Celtics, and it revolves around their god of death named Samhain. That's where it originates from. Now, the Celtic priests who carried out the rituals in the open air were called Druids, and they were members of pagan orders in Britain, Ireland, and Gaul. They generally performed their rituals by offering sacrifices, usually of animals, but sometimes of humans, in order to satisfy the gods. And the reason they did this was to ensure that the sun would return after winter and frighten away evil spirits. Now, to the Celtics, the bonfire represented the sun and was used to aid the Druids in their fight with dark powers. The term bonfire comes from the words bonfire, and it literally means the bones of sacrificed animals and sometimes humans. Now, I know we use that term a lot, bonfire, but that's actually a pagan term referring to a pagan practice. These bones were piled in a field with timber and set ablaze. All fires except those of the Druids were extinguished on Samhain, and householders were levied a fee to relight their fires. During the festival of Samhain, fires would be lit, which would burn all through the winter, and sacrifices would be offered to the gods on the fires. Now, Samhain was a supreme night of demonic jubilation. They believed spirits of the dead would rise out of their graves and wander the countryside, trying to return to the homes where they formerly lived. In the 8th century, the Pope, in an effort to get the people to quit the festival of Samhain, invented All Saints' Day on November 1st. This was an attempt to get the people to turn away from the horrible observances of Samhain. All Saints' Day was intended to honor the martyrs of the Roman persecutions. It did not work, however. It never works, by the way, to try to mix a Christian and a pagan holiday together. The holy and the profane do not mix. This festival of death has survived all the efforts of the church to stamp it out. The church is joining the opposition by celebrating this festival. All Saints' Day became known as All Hallows' Day. All Hallows' Day. Hallow means holy or sacred. October 31st is the evening before All Hallows' Day and came to be called in the Western world All Hallows' Evening. And then All Hallows' Een. Een is an abbreviation for evening. Finally, the word was reduced to the way we have it today, Halloween. That's where the name came from. Even if it's called All Hallows' Evening, it has nothing to do with Christianity, the Christian faith. It never has and never will. All right, now, that is the brief history of where it came from. Now, let's talk about some of the customs of Halloween. By the way, folks, everything that children innocently do, there's a meaning behind it, all right? So let's talk about that, all right? North American almanacs of the 18th and early 19th century give no indication that Halloween was recognized as a holiday. The Puritans of New England, for example, maintained strong opposition to the holiday, and it was not until the mass Irish and Scottish immigration during the 19th century that the holiday was brought to North America in earnest. Confined to the immigrant communities during the mid-19th century, it was gradually assimilated into mainstream society, and by the first decade of the 20th century, it was being celebrated coast to coast by people of all social, racial, and religious backgrounds. Although Halloween is not an official holiday, it's celebrated as one. If I were to have some of you young people list name for me some famous holidays, no doubt in the top five you would name Halloween. But you know what? Halloween is not an official holiday. It's just celebrated on October 31st. But it was never an official holiday. Let me tell you what the main, probably the main purpose behind Halloween, beside occultic practices, is money. Is money. Did you know Halloween is the number two money-making holiday in America? Number two, right behind Christmas. No big surprise. 1 Timothy 6:10 tells us, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." And that's one main reason you see it pushed everywhere is because of the billions of dollars it generates every year. Now let's talk about the different customs. Of course, when you think of Halloween, the first thing you think of is trick or treat. Trick or treat. Here this week, kids will be all over the place, going to people's door, knocking on their door, asking, say, you know, hollering out trick or treat, begging for candy. Well, let's find, what's that mean? You ever wonder what that meant? Trick or treat. Where would that come from? Why do people say that? Why don't they say Happy Halloween? Why do they say, and they knock on your door, trick or treat? Well, let's find out why, all right? There's a meaning behind it, by the way, okay? Back when this originated, frightened villagers tried to appease the wandering spirits by offering them gifts of fruits and nuts. They began the tradition of placing plates of the finest foods and bits of treats that the household had to offer on their doorsteps as gifts to appease the hunger of the ghostly wanderers. If not pacified, villagers feared that the spirits would kill their flock or destroy their property. Thus, the term trick-or-treat means this. If you don't treat me, I will trick you. And it was a way to appease what they believed were the evil spirits wandering the countryside. So basically, I mean, you think about what that means. That means either if you don't do something to appease me, I'm going to do something mean to you. And that's what that means, trick or treat. Why do you think there is an increase in vandalism and all these other things that go along at this time of year? Okay, that's what trick or treat means. What about this whole idea of wearing masks or costumes? Well, the problem with believing that the souls of dead loved ones could return the night of Halloween was not only the fact that the souls of loved ones could return, but because they believed that the veil was lifted between the spiritual and the natural world, anything else, human or not, nice or not so nice, would also believe to wander the countryside. The only thing that the superstitious people knew to do to protect themselves on such an occasion was to masquerade as one of the demonic horde and hopefully blend in unnoticed among them. Wearing masks and other disguises and blackening the face with soot were the original ways of hiding oneself from the spirits of the dead who might be roaming around. This is the origin of masquerading as devils, imps, and other demonic creatures. Now, nowadays, people have not only do they dress up as these things, but they've included what you would call nice costumes. Well, it's okay, you know, my son or daughter is going to be dressed like a prince or like a bunny rabbit or like a whatever. Okay, but folks, listen to me. The whole idea of the whole mask and costume wearing originates with the fact that people were trying to blend in with the spirits that they believe walked around during this time. All right, how about the jack-o'-lantern? If you were to ask about the symbol of Halloween, of course, is recognized as the jack-o'-lantern. Well, folks, there's a purpose behind that. It means something, all right? The jack-o'-lantern is the festival light for Halloween and is the ancient symbol for a damned soul. Originally, the Irish would carve out turnips or beets as lanterns and representation of the souls of the dead or goblins freed from the dead. When the Irish immigrated to America, they could not find many turnips to carve into jack-o'-lanterns, but they did find an abundance of pumpkins. Pumpkins seem to be a suitable substitute for the turnips and have been an essential part of Halloween celebrations ever since. Pumpkins with cut faces represent demons who intend to frighten away evil spirits. It was believed that if a demon were to encounter something as fiendish-looking as itself, then it would run away in terror, thus sparing the house from its ravages. So thus, the jack-o'-lantern is a symbol of warding away evil spirits. It's a superstitious symbol, all right? So that's the purpose. When you see a jack-o'-lantern, that's the meaning, that's the purpose behind it. How about the different animals seen at Halloween? Bats, owls, black cats. These are popular symbols of Halloween because people believed that the animals could communicate with the spirits of the dead. It was believed that witches could turn themselves into black cats. Thus, when a black cat was seen, it was considered to be a witch in disguise. And of course, everyone associates black cats with witches on Halloween. Let's talk about witches. Witches and witchcraft are the dominant themes of the holiday. Now, folks, don't fool yourself, okay? You talk to anybody that has any type of common sense whatsoever, and they know that witches and witchcraft are dominant in this time of year. Okay? You talk to people that have come out of the occult. Okay? I've read some books. I've seen some interviews of people that have come out of the occult, and they will tell you that Halloween is their number one time of year where they worship the devil. Okay? Now, some people say that, I've heard some people say, well, Halloween's the devil's birthday. Well, folks, that's not the case, okay? Satan was created before God created time, all right? So people don't celebrate Halloween in honor of the devil's birthday, but they do celebrate it in honor of Satan. Okay? And you can't deny the fact that that is one of the main things of the holiday. The Halloween witch is a strange-looking female in a black cloak and a peaked hat riding a broomstick along with her symbolic cat. Her name is derived from the Saxon word Wicca, which means wise one. Artists of the Middle Ages often showed witches preparing to fly off to one of their Sabbaths. It was believed that angels and devils were supposed to be able to fly, so it was easy to believe that witches too could fly. The broomstick, originally made from a stalk of the broom plant with a bunch of leaves at the head, was said to be used by poor witches who went on foot. The broom or pole was used to vault over brooks, streams, or thorny patches. Due to its use as an indoor cleaning tool, the broom became the symbol of women. Before settling out for a Sabbath, witches would rub sacred ointment called unguent into their pores. One ingredient in the ointment confused the mind. Another sped up the witch's pulse. Still another numbed the feet. Kind of sound familiar, huh? Called drugs. This gave them a feeling of flying, thus getting high. If they'd been fasting, the ointment seemed to make them feel even giddier. Bat blood was another ingredient in the ointment. In England, during initiation ceremonies, new witches were sometimes blindfolded, smeared with the unguent, then placed on a broom. By the way, folks, when you look into the occult, there's one thing synonymous with the cult, and that is the use of drugs. It's there. In fact, the word witchcraft in the Bible comes from the Greek word meaning pharmaceutical, where we get our English word pharmaceuticals from. Thus, witchcraft and drug use always go hand in hand. By the way, it's a documented fact. If you talk to or read books about or talk to someone that came from the occult, when people begin to take these drugs, they begin to see into the spirit world. And folks, there's a reason why the Bible says what it says. All right? By the way, God has something to say about witches. This is what God says about them. Exodus 22:18. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. That's God's opinion about it. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Now there's numerous customs connected with the pagan observances for the dead that have survived to the present. The various activities traditional to Halloween are mostly associated with the idea of obtaining good fortune and foretelling the future. The idea behind bobbing for apples seems to have been that of snatching a bite from the apple enabled the person to grasp good fortune. Peeling an apple and throwing it the peel over one's shoulder was supposed to reveal the initial of one's future spouse. The whole theme of Halloween is one of darkness, death, fear, threats, destruction, and evil. There's witches, broomsticks, bats, owls, ghosts, skeletons, death, monsters. People dress up their children as demons and witches and ghouls and monsters and werewolves and send them out into the streets in the darkness to reenact the druids' practice of demanding food from people under threat of tricks if they do not comply. People take pumpkin and carve demon faces in it and decorate with it. At Halloween, there'll be apple bobbing, divination, fortune-telling, haunted houses, candles lit, spirits called up. There'll be seances, Ouija boards in the name of fun and excitement. There'll be sacrifices of dogs, cats, rats, chickens, goats, and even humans. You may say, well, we don't take it seriously. But may I say this, the devil does and so does God.
Right.
Okay? Particularly this is true when the Church of Jesus Christ, which he has purchased with his own precious blood, builds houses of horrors in their fellowship halls so that little lambs who have been entrusted to its care can be terrified and opened up to invading spirits of fear, torment, and confusion. You know, folks, I expect the world to celebrate things like this, but what a shame when the church begins to take the same practices as the world. All right, now, let me take the next few minutes and give you some Bible reasons why Christians should not celebrate Halloween. Bible reasons why. I'm not making these things up. I'm going to show you from the Bible, Bible principles, why Christians should not participate in this wicked day. All right? Number one, the Bible says that we are not to learn the ways of the heathen. Okay, we just read it. Look with me again. Verse 9 of Deuteronomy chapter 18. Look what it says here.
when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now I know this is speaking to Israel, talking to them about going into the promised land, and God's referring to the Canaanites here. But you know, I think it's kind of interesting that God also gave us as Americans a land. All right? And God says, when you come there, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. By the way, where did Americans learn to celebrate Halloween? From the other nations. And God says, when you come into that land, you're not to learn the ways of the heathen. Turn with me in a couple other places. Go to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2. This is what God says here. I'll give you a second to get there. Thus saith the Lord. By the way, this is a command. Learn not the ways of the heathen. Learn not the ways of the heathen. And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. All right, folks, listen to me. God tells his people not to learn the practices of the heathen. I don't think one person with an ounce of common sense could win an argument that says Halloween and everything about it is not clearly heathen. I've showed you historically that it is. By participating in Halloween, Christians are clearly violating the command not to learn the ways of the heathen. I mean, folks, come on. Have you seen how people decorate for this satanic holiday? I mean, you know, blood, guts, psychos with chainsaws, butcher's knives, coffins, creatures that look like they just crawled out of the very pit of hell, all in the name of fun. Folks, you know what this is? This is called the way of the heathen. This is the way of darkness, not the way of light. Okay? Ephesians 5, 6 through 8 tells us this, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them." God is very, very clear. Do not partake with them. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Amen. You know what God says as Christians? Look, okay, there's a way of darkness, there's a way of light. I expect you as a Christian to walk in the path of light, not in the path of darkness. All right? So Bible reason number one why Christians shouldn't celebrate Halloween is because we're not to learn the ways of the heathen. Number two, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When Jesus was asked a question pertaining to the resurrection, here was his reply. Mark 12, 27. "He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living." Very clear. You know what? Listen to me, folks. God gives Christians victory over death. He conquered the power of death so that we might live. Why then would Christians want to take part in something that celebrates death? Okay? God gave us victory over that. Okay? Look what the Bible says about that. Psalm 33, 18 and 19. "Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death." That's what God says, to deliver their soul from death. Psalm 107, 14. "He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death." God has taken us as Christians and delivered us from death and put us in the path of life and the path of light. Okay? This is what Paul says about death. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. So the Bible tells us through Jesus Christ, God's given us victory over death, which, by the way, death is a result of sin. That's what death is the result of. So why then, please tell me, as a Christian, do you think God okays for you to celebrate something that he says is completely opposite of me? Okay? All right. God's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Bible reason number three. To celebrate Halloween is to associate ourselves with Satan himself. That's a pretty strong statement. Let me back it up with Scripture. All right? Folks, we do understand that there are only two sides. Right? And every human being finds himself on one or the other. Okay? The Bible clearly says You're either a child of God or a child of the devil. And that's it. Those are the two sides. Okay? Sorry, you can't in the name of I don't believe in God take a neutral stance there. Okay? You're either on God's side or you are on Satan's side. Okay? Now the Bible has this to say, 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 20. But I say that the things with the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Very interesting there. By the way, who's Paul talking to there? To the church. He's talking to the church. He says this, 1 Corinthians 10:21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the devils and of the table of devils. Folks, one table or the other. One table or the other. So when a saved, born-again Christian who belongs to God begins to eat at the table of devils and associate with the things that they associate with, he is clearly not following Christ the way he should. And thus, for a Christian to celebrate Halloween is to associate yourself with Satan. You know, God has some strong words about the practices that are associated with Satan. The practices that are symbolized and practiced in Halloween. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. I want to break this verse down for you here. By the way, Jesus said this in Matthew 12:30. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Okay, folks, it's a clear, decided line. Now, I'm not saying, as a Christian, if you celebrate Halloween, you're not saved. All I'm saying is, you are not associating yourself with God's side. You're associating yourself with the devil's side. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10. Now, I want to break this verse down for you here and teach you the meanings of what it's saying here. All right? Here's what God says. There shall not be found among you any. Okay? Let's stop there for just a second. God says this. My people, okay, that belong to me. These are not the things that I want among you. Okay? No one, nothing. Okay? None of these things should be found among you. Okay? And he gives a very specific list here. Let's look at it. Let's break it down. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire. Now, what the way of the heathen was, in the Canaanites, they literally would take their children, okay, the fruit of their own bodies, and they would offer them as sacrifices to their false gods. Okay, they literally would burn their children on altars to false gods. Okay, and that's what that means. It means human sacrifice. By the way, what is one of the main practices of a satanic coven is human sacrifice. Okay, you talk to some people who used to be involved in law enforcement in this area back in the late 70s, early 80s, when the occult was very prevalent in this area. Okay, I mean, there was people being sacrificed to Satan in this area. Okay, possibly still are, I don't know. But there were for sure then. Human sacrifices. Okay, finding people mutilated. People nailed to trees, all kinds of crazy things in this area back in that time when the cult was prevalent. Okay? All associated with Satan and worshiping him, by the way, which is exactly what Halloween's about. So God says, no human sacrifice. By the way, there was a time in Israel's history where they sunk into such debauchery that they were doing this. God's own people were sacrificing their children as human sacrifices to these false gods. God says, I don't want that to ever be found among you. Now notice the next part here. Or that uses divination. Now that word divination, if you look up the meaning of it, it means fortune telling. That's what it means. God says, I don't want anyone among you that does fortune telling. Okay? That's why, folks, it's very important as a Christian that you stay away from that kind of stuff. Okay, well, it's no big deal. It's just fun. It's fun to get, you know, I think it's kind of neat to get my palm read. I think it's kind of cool to see what the cards say about my future. Well, folks, by doing that, you are directly violating what God says you should not be a partaker of. Fortune telling. Here's the next thing God says. Or an observer of times. Now, if you study that up, it basically means this. It means to practice magic. That's what that means. an observer of times. By the way, folks, that kind of stuff is real. There are people that can do some supernatural things in the name of magic. Okay, go back to Exodus. Find out what happened when Moses went in and stood in the court of Pharaoh. Okay, you know what you find? You find for a few times that Pharaoh's his magicians, his sorcerers could duplicate some of the miracles that Moses did. Okay, and you know what? How they did that? They did that with demonic power. Okay, so I have no doubt. You say, well, I've seen people make stuff float through the air before. I have no doubt. I believe you. I'm sure you have. I know that stuff happens. It's demonically empowered, folks. And God knows that. Okay? And God says that there should not be an observer of times. Here's the next phrase he says, or an enchanter. That word means someone who cast a spell. Okay? Someone who cast a spell. And by the way, there are people who are involved in the occult, who are involved in witchcraft, that do literally go around casting spells. Okay, so God says, I don't want that, you a part of that. Here's the next thing he says, or a witch. A witch is simply a practicer of witchcraft. A practicer of witchcraft, all right? Here's the next thing he says, or a charmer. That word charmer means someone who will use a spell. Okay, use a spell. Or a consulter with familiar spirits. That means communicating with evil spirits. Okay? By the way, okay, let me just throw this out here to you. Okay? I don't know, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm sure this is true in a room this size. Somebody has probably in this room played with a Ouija board before. Okay? Now, thank goodness that I was warned of this younger. I've never messed around with a Ouija board. Let me just say this. When you mess with a Ouija board, you are messing with evil spirits. You are messing with evil spirits. Okay, I could tell you stories that people have told me have personally happened to them when they've messed with Ouija boards. Okay, I had a friend I went to college with, and we used to sometimes we'd get together and tell each other scary stories. And this guy was 20 years old, and when we would tell these scary stories, he literally would lay in his bed with the cover over his head, and he didn't want to listen to him. And I found out why. Because when he was a teenager, he was in like this, like abandoned house. There was a Ouija board there. And he says, I promise you, I'm not lying, that Ouija board literally picked itself up off the table, flew against the room, and slammed against the wall. You know what? I believed him. You know why? Because that's directly related to evil spirits. They sell them as children's games. Folks, they're not a child's game. Okay, you bring a Ouija board in your house, you are opening the door to satanic influence in your home. Okay, and that's what it says here. No one who communicates with evil spirits. Here's the next thing God says, verse 11. Or a wizard. A wizard is someone who conjures up evil spirits. Oh, it's just a game. Oh, it's just a video game. Now, folks, listen to me. You better be careful. You allow your kids to have games in your house that has these types of things in them. Okay, you're opening up your door to satanic influence. Okay, that's why you shouldn't be reading books with this type of stuff in it. That's why you shouldn't be watching movies with this kind of stuff in it, because you're opening up doors and God says, I don't want this found among you. And here's the next thing, the last thing God says is this, a necromancer. And a necromancer means someone that tries to communicate with the dead. Okay, by the way, people are making millions of dollars in America with the supposed gift of communicating with the dead. They're on TV. They're all over the place. Folks, God says, don't have anything to do with that. By the way, look what he says in verse 18. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Okay, now notice here, he doesn't say that these things are an abomination. He says, if you do them, you are an abomination to the Lord. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. So God says, if you participate in this, you become an abomination to me. That's why as Christians, it's very important that we make sure we keep certain things out of our home. Amen. All right, and last of all, number four, the fourth biblical reason why a Christian should not celebrate Halloween is this. To celebrate Halloween is to give place to the devil in your life. It's to give place to the devil. The Bible says this, Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. That's a direct command. Neither give place to the devil. Now that little six-word phrase means for us not to even give a spot of space. That's what that means. Not even a single spot of space to the devil in our lives. And when a Christian participates and everything that is about Satan, and everything that celebrates Satan and associates with Satan, I would think that that is giving the devil a spot in your life. As Christians, folks, it's hard enough to do battle against Satan. You stand for God, you do right, you know what? Satan's going to attack you. Okay? Now, you know what? I'll just say this. Satan doesn't attack carnal Christians. If you're carnal, you don't walk with God, you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, you don't try to reach people for Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, but Satan doesn't attack you. You know why? He doesn't have to. You can't get past your own flesh. Okay? He doesn't waste his resources on you. But people who are trying to serve God, who are making an impact for eternity, let me just say this, as Christians, the Bible clearly says that Satan will attack us. Okay? Now, here's the thing. Life's hard enough when Satan's trying to attack you. Why in the world would you give him another avenue into your life by participating in these types of things? Okay? Look, the reason God says for us not to give Satan even a small spot, because he knows that Satan will not be satisfied with only a small place. Okay? Before you know it, if you allow him to get his foot in the door, there'll be more areas in your life that he will wiggle his way into. Listen, folks, don't allow Satan a hold in your life by celebrating something that seems so innocent as Halloween. Okay? By doing so, you're giving the devil a place in your life. Now, all I've done this morning was present you with historical fact. By the way, everything I said this morning is documented historically what happened. Research it out yourself. I didn't make any of this up. Every custom and part of Halloween I talked about this morning is historically documented. Okay? Study it out yourself. All right? And then I presented you with the Bible principles of why Christians should not participate in that. Now, you know what? You'll have to decide what you're going to do for your own family. Okay? As men. Okay? But understand, God will hold you accountable. Yes, sir. Okay? Do what you want. You want your kids to go out and go trick-or-treating? Whatever. Okay? Well, we don't control people's lives here. But I will tell you one thing. We will give you Bible principles. Okay? You can do that, but remember something. Okay? You can do whatever you want, but you can't choose the consequence of your action. Okay? So, live how you want to live it. And this whole thing about Halloween, do what you want. Okay? But I'll just tell you, based upon the Bible, it's dangerous for a Christian to do so. Okay? But if you want to, that's up to you. All right? I just wanted to present you with some things this morning. And I wanted to give this to you because I know God wanted me to. Okay, I specifically knew that the Lord brought this message, this lesson for me to give to you this morning. So you do what you want with it. I pray it was a blessing to you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for all you've done for us. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for how it guides us and directs us. And I pray that you help us to take its principles and apply it to our lives. Lord, thank you for all these good folks that are here this morning. God, I have no doubt, Lord, they're here because they love you. And Lord, I think they're here because they want to serve you. And God, I pray that you'd be with each and every one of them. Lord, be with Lord, the fathers, Lord, the mothers, the teenagers, God, and just help them, Lord, we pray. And bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.